Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where we get together, discuss what it's like to run a business, be a woman, raise a family, do it all and do it all without all of the stress. My name is Angela Council and this is going to be a really fun episode, I guarantee that, because I've got with me someone who just makes life fun no matter what. I have known this woman for, sometimes I would say way too long, probably about five years. She's the coolest chick that I know, and she's also the co-founder of Basic Bananas, which is Australia's number one marketing education company for small business, and these guys just absolutely rock. So it's taken me a while to really pin this woman down because she is never in the one place for very, very long. She actually has a fantastic work-life balance because she spends most of her time surfing around the world and her business just goes. So welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. This was very, in your first like 10 seconds, I was like, oh, this sounds exhausting, being a woman, running a business, having kids, doing all this fun stuff.
It is exhausting at times.
I can imagine.
So tell us about how you got to be doing what you're doing. Because Basic Bananas, really, when we look at it, it hasn't been around for a very long time. It's a relatively young company, but in the last few years, you've taken it from, I know, from your kitchen table to what you've got now, which is unbelievable, where you are running workshops and marketing groups all around the world. You're speaking around the world. You're never here. So, but where did it all start?
Well, it is young, I guess. Sometimes I think, wow, we've been doing this for so long. But basically, the trigger was I was working in advertising. I think you know that story. I was working in advertising and I don't have an accent. So if anyone is thinking, where is she from? She is from Narrabin in Australia.
Francisca's a Swazi. Swiss Aussie.
It's so funny, you know, sometimes when I go to places, people are like, especially when guys sometimes ask me, like, surfy guys, like, where are you from? I'm like, Narrabin, because that's like totally the blokey sort of total right. Aussie neighborhood, and they're like, no, you're not. I'm like, well, I live there. Yeah. So I came to Australia 11 years ago, and I was working in advertising and marketing, and then 8.5 years ago, suddenly I got this phone call from home, from my family, from my brother. I have one older brother, Swiss banker, you know, all the cliches, fulfilling them, he's great.
He's totally it.
He's doing it. He's the good kid in the family. And
you're the rebel.
Yeah, I was always a little bit not the bad kid, just the rebel, and he was the good kid. You need one, a good one.
I've got one.
You got a good one?
And a rebel.
And one rebel. Which one is the rebel? The girl?
Yeah, of course she is.
Yeah,
I've met her.
Yeah, I've met her. And so then I got this phone call from my brother, and he said that our dad, who was 58, at the time had just passed away. He had a heart attack, and he was out of the blue. He was healthy, and he was actually a business owner himself. He was some sort of a mechanical electrician-y sort of guy.
Oh, I don't know the word. You knew him well.
Yeah, I know. As a kid, you know, you never know what your parents do. And it was one of those words that I still can't translate. You don't have the word. It's like, it's called mechanic of precision.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have this here. It's a special
thing.
Sounds
a bit like a mechanical engineer, but
yeah,
more,
but a little bit like they
more
do
precise.
Little precise things.
Oh, did he make Swiss watches?
He made switchboards, you know, like in hospitals where you can regulate the cold and the hot and light. These like switchboard things he made. I never knew what he did when I was a kid, of course. So he was a business owner, and he suddenly had a heart attack at 58, completely out of the blue. And within about an hour, he was dead. And it was one of those moments in my life where I was completely, of course, turned upside down. My life was turned upside down. I couldn't believe it. And it was really hard, of course. You just went through a similar experience. It's hard, and we all have moments like that. And a question appeared in my head when that happened. And the question was, if I was to die, would I be happy? And that question has never left me since, and I'm really grateful for it, because now when I hear the question in my head, or I ask myself consciously, if I don't say yes to the question, if I was to die right now, would I be proud and happy with what I'm doing? Then I have to change something. And back then I was working in advertising and I was doing good work, but I wasn't completely fulfilled. And so the answer was no. If I was to die, I'm not done yet. Like, I haven't done everything I can. So no, I wouldn't be happy. And so I left my career and partnered up with Christo, my husband, to start Basic Bananas. And that's about 8 or so years, almost 9 years ago now. We started in the background first. And then, you know, when I left my career, I couldn't tell a lot of my home people because they would have thought, no, that she's lost it.
She's crazy.
Yeah, she's crazy.
Well, she is.
No.
Yes, you are.
What did they say? You only ever recognize what you have already in yours, so you must be very crazy. And that's the truth. Yeah, and then we started Basic Bananas, and we started at the kitchen table. You were at my kitchen table. We have a new kitchen table now.
Oh, you got a new
one. It's way cooler.
I should come
in. You should come and check it out. It's a wooden. It was made by one of our members at Basic Bananas, someone who makes furniture out of recycled wood. It's gorgeous. Back then I had this shabby white.
I think so.
It was not cool because I didn't have money. So now we have a better kitchen table. So we started at the kitchen table, and then we basically our whole focus was on educating small businesses to do better marketing, because there is a better way. And so many businesses are struggling with their marketing. They do really bad marketing, and they just don't know how to get good marketing out there. So our whole focus was always on education. To basically, it's the whole thing of teach someone to fish rather than giving them the fish.
Yep.
So we wanted small business owners to be able to fish for clients. Mm-hmm. And so we used to hire, first we hired an office somewhere where we could just go and run our workshops. And then this office, how when did we buy this office? 4 years ago maybe? So then 4 years ago we bought the office we're sitting in right now with Angela. And now, just a month ago, we bought the next door office I told you about. I think we're renovating, so we're expanding. We have a team of 21 now, and it's growing very rapidly. I need to actually put on more people because we're all busy. We're all working really hard. And we've managed to also expand our sessions into 6 cities in Australia. And we launched in Canada last month. That's who I was talking to before when you walked in.
Oh, right.
Eric. You met Eric. Did you meet Eric, our Canadian?
Oh, yes.
Guy? Yeah. So we launched into Canada a month ago, and we started sessions in Los Angeles. It's a lot harder, though. We're definitely struggling a lot more in the U.S. at the moment, because we're in a city where everyone is.
Yeah.
But that's us, basically.
So, because you, I mean, I've worked with you for years, and people keep saying to me, why do you still work with them? And I just tell them I'm a slow learner.
I just keep coming back every single year.
But actually, the reason why I do stay and is because of the community, and I think, you know, you teach great stuff and all of that, but the community that you have built around you, I think, is really what you are known for. People want to be part of your community, because people come to me, so many people know that I work with you, and they say, oh, should I work with Basic Bananas, blah, 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 and my answer always is, if you want the community, that's where you go, because you can get marketing from, I mean, really, there's so many places around you can do marketing.
Mostly our shit. No,
that's right. They're not quite as good as you.
They're good too. They're good
but too. It is the community, and you have built that around your mainly around your personality, plus Christo as well, because you two really bounce off well of each other. You're the crazy Swiss, and he's
down to earth.
He's the
calm.
Calm surfer boy. But the community is really big, and that's what you've really built, haven't you? You've built a great community.
And I actually think that is even one lesson that if you listen to this show today, I believe that if you want to have a really great business, and the future of business is in building communities. It is in being so great and awesome and real and ethical, and facilitating an environment where people can collaborate. Mm. Because one other big thing that I totally believe in, and I talk about it a lot, is I believe that the future of business is in collaborating. It's in collaboration. So, one of the things we definitely focus a lot on is having a great community. And we're also very selective with, right now, Pat and Fiona are on the phone with businesses that are applying into Clever Bunch. And we talk to everyone before they can even join one of our courses. And it's very funny. I won't name drop here, but you have one bad, you know, exactly, even with a team, you have one bad apple, and the whole community gets ripped apart.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was in Melbourne yesterday and the day before running workshops. And there was one business owner that from the very beginning I said to the guys here, we should not allow this person to come into the bunch. They said, no, trust us. this person is going to grow and they're going to be great. And I said, okay, you are really the ones that select the people, great, I trust you. And of course, 7 months in, I'm like, this person is creating a really not good vibe in that community, and we can't afford that. I've called people, not many, but I have called people in the past where I said, look, I don't think this is a good fit. And it's because we have to protect the community.
That's
have
right,
one bad apple in it, and it's the same with the team.
Mm.
If you have built a team around you, you have one bad apple in it, and it's happened to me before, and it rips apart the team.
And I think that's a really important message for the listeners to get, is like, you don't have to work with everyone.
No.
And when you get clear on what your values are and the difference you want to make in the world, and you're so totally clear on where you want to go and what you want to do, then it becomes easier to say, well, no, you're just not on my path.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I mean, they're not right for you, you're not right for them
either.
Exactly.
You can be, yeah, exactly.
You know, they're better off with someone who has the same values, who gets them.
Exactly.
And you're actually doing them a favour. But it can be really hard work to sit there and turn back business.
It can be so hard. And I remember the very first time I turned down business, I shouldn't have financially. It was when I came right out of advertising and I had this accountant and he wanted to work with us. And so I went and met with him. I put together a proposal for 10 grand to work with him privately, because back then we didn't have a lot of workshops, and I did private consulting. And so I put that together. He said, yes, let's work together. And he was one of my first clients. So I went to his offices to just start the work with him. And I just couldn't do it, because I saw as soon as I walked in that this person is not doing very, he doesn't have ethical business practices. Mm. The way he's dealing with clients and how he's ripping them off, I can't help a person like that. So I said to him, I said, I can't work with you. I'm really sorry. And I remember I went home. We were living out of a dodgy garage. It wasn't at that kitchen table, actually, overlooking the ocean. He didn't even see my garage, because I didn't invite anyone there because it was embarrassing. So living out of a garage. And I went back home to the garage where Krista was. And I said, I just told this person that I'm not going to work with him. So we're not going to get the 10 grand. And Krista was like, you're not normal. This is not very good. I'm like, yes, but it's in line with our values.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to compromise on our values, no matter how starving I am, for to actually be able to pay for something. And luckily, I didn't ever compromise, because other businesses came in that were way better to work with, and that I could have a conscience and that I could go to bed, you know, feeling
and
good.
I think that will happen, because if you just allow those people to go without holding on to it and thinking I'm losing something, when you actually feel like what you're gaining is you're gaining your values and you're sticking to that, the right people, you're allowing the right people to come in anyway.
And you know, I think that's one of the greatest life lessons too, even if you don't run a business, is being so careful with who you hang with and selecting the people you want to hang with. You can select people basically. If you have any people that you hang out with that are taking you down, or they don't believe in you, or every time you leave you feel like you need a shower, or you know, you just feel so tired after meeting them because they just suck you so dry, like squeeze like an orange. Then
you're talking about most people's families here.
Yeah, and I was going to say there's one exception. So if they're not family members, you can not hang with them. If they're family members,
you just hang with them a short amount of time and then leave.
Exactly. You just minimize the time. You unfortunately can't get rid of them, but you can choose.
It's good when they live in another country, though.
You know, my family is actually... I never had a family member where I thought, oh, I really don't want to hang with this person, until I married into... And there was one person in there. I said, I can't deal with this person. Her values are so different. And she was also married into the family, so it wasn't like blood. And I just said, I just really, from my heart, I really try so hard, but my God is telling me to stay away from this person. And I said, I can just minimize my time. And now, of course, my God was right again.
Yeah,
everyone else
right.
realized, oh, actually, this person really is not a good person.
Yeah.
So she's not in the family anymore. But it's the same, you know, you just minimize.
It is. And it is. It's really about listening to your gut, listening to your heart about what's right. Because many people, and when it comes to business or anything, they're all in the shoulds. And I've very much, any time I hear someone say, oh, I should do that or I have to do that, it's like, no, what do you want to do? But so many... And I think women do it more than men. I know you work with both men and women. I tend to work more with women. But I think women more so seem to be, what do they have to do? What should I do? And how does it look to everybody else? As opposed to, and in business, like when people, you know, they go into business, so they go and buy courses from everybody and do everybody else's stuff and wonder why it doesn't work, because they're not being true to themselves.
I love that you, and you're really good at, I've seen you in action with people, you're so good at picking up on people's language and seeing what's going on, because that's your profession, that's what you're really good at. And it's so true, you know, even in our Color Bunch, I always say in our programs, I say, guys, this is the principle, but don't think that you have to do it exactly our way. I'm never going to, you know, jam something down someone's throat because I think that's how they should do it. I usually just said, when they asked me, even yesterday in Melbourne, someone asked me about something, I said, well, what do you want?
Yeah.
You know, what's your thing? Because you can't be how we do it, because that's us, but you are you. So what does your gut tell you? Should you do? Should you choose black or white or yellow? You know, like.
But I think that, you know, that's something that a lot of women struggle with. And like, I know that in the past I've done exactly the same thing. It's like, okay, so what are these guys doing? What are these guys doing? And trying to copy what other people do, and it just didn't work until finally I went, you know, what works for me?
Hi, sorry for the interruption, but I just wanted to tell you about our private Facebook group, Stress-Free Living. That's where we have lots more conversations about reducing stress. I share lots of tips for you so that you can run a business, raise a family and look after yourself. So check it out on Facebook. Back to the conversation.
What makes me feel good? And now, if I've got a decision to make, and I had one this morning, I just sat down there and I just, I mean, I do woo-woo things, so I'm
I love woo-woo things. And use crystals and things like that.
Well, I've got a dowsing crystal and I did that this morning, or I just muscle test and see what's this. Or I just sit there and just, I sat there this morning and just wrote and said, what's my next step with ease? And just said, what is my next step with ease? And I just kept writing that, and then something came up and I went, okay, I can do that, because just taking that step, that would be easy. I'd do that now. And so once I do that step, well, then the next step is, what's my next step with ease? And I just said that because I'd started with what's my next step, but then I realised that's not the full question, because I don't want a hard step. I want the step that keeps me in flow.
That's so smart.
And it's just being really specific, because we can ask for the next step, and the next step, we can sit there and we can be afraid of it. But if the next step is something you can do easily, and it's just, you do it with ease, and it's only a little step, and then the next step after that becomes, that's right. And it feels like, because we have big, we can quite often get into fears about the big step, but the next step that I can do easily is this.
Yeah, I like that. And I think it's a big one. You know, the whole skill that you mentioned before, I think this is one of the biggest lessons, is you can go to all these courses, and often they're even contradictory. Someone says this, someone says this. And then you go home. Yeah, exactly. And then you go home completely confused.
Yeah, what the hell do I do now?
Oh, actually, that was my example. One of our members, she is a fantastic wedding dressmaker in Melbourne. And she said, well, you know, I wanted to share these love stories of my clients. And because I encouraged her to do that, because I thought people would be interested in hearing, you know, who is behind So she's making this dress for the bride.
Yep.
So what's her story? And she got the best stories. And then she said, but then someone told me nobody's going to be interested in that. And so that set me back for a few weeks. And I'm like, well, but what do you believe?
Do you believe
that people are going to read this or not? And she said, well, I think it's a great idea. Well, why would you listen to that other person? Most of my life, I've basically haven't listened to.
You're right. She doesn't listen to anyone.
Most of my life, but it's because I know in my gut. I remember
even trust yourself.
When I first started Basic Finance, coming out of advertising, never run a business before. Well, I ran one before that failed. It was a Swiss travel agency. Totally failed. So then I ran this business. So I thought, oh, I have to make this work, because I don't have money, don't have a back thing, something to fall back on. And so I hired this mentor, great businesswoman. You know, she's run businesses. She knows a lot about business. And the first thing she said, Basic Bananas is not on. That name is not on. You're not going to use that name. I said, let's just call her Hannah. I said, Hannah, I'm happy to listen to your advice because I'm paying you for it, but that one advice I'm not going to take, because I know in my gut
that
it's going to work. And I come from branding. I know naming. And so sometimes you have to not listen to advice. It's actually really smart to sometimes not listen to people's advice. But my advice you always should take, of course.
Of course, I always listen to you. Yeah, of course. But it is about being comfortable that you know, that you actually have the answers. Other people can give you advice, but it is being comfortable in who you are. I mean, Basic Bananas is totally who you are. It's fun, it's crazy, it's, you know, and everybody knows Basic Bananas. I mean, you can mention, basically, I reckon that I could talk to a group of people, and if I said, has anyone heard of Basic Bananas, and at least half of the room would put their hand up, because it is something that, you know, sticks in your head.
Yeah.
But also, I think we just, it's just about being authentically you and not being, trying to be someone else. And I think that's the biggest key to
bringing stress down in business. It's meant to be you asking me questions, but I actually do want to ask you one question because I think it's so important.
I knew this would happen.
You knew it. Basically, people are listening now and they're thinking, okay, great, well done, you two crazy chicks. You got a gut feeling.
Yes.
But what if I don't have a gut feeling? You know, a lot of people, especially actually Swiss people, they have it turned off because they've learned.
That's right. They've unlearned
how to use a gut. So you actually, this is your expertise. How would you tell someone if I come to you and I say, I don't have a gut feeling?
Well, first thing I'd say is to get them to actually know that they do. So that's the first step. And then what I do is I actually get them, my biggest thing is writing and just dumping everything out of your head, because quite often you can't listen to your gut when your head is so busy and it's just going and going and going and going. And this is what causes so much stress, because people are just running around in their head. But if you, and because then you say, you know, meditation is great, but most people can't meditate. A lot of people can't, because they can't keep their head still. So what I say is just get a piece of paper and whatever's in your head, write it down and just keep writing and writing. And the physical act of writing, because people say, oh, can I cheat and put it on an iPad? Oh, no, the physical act of writing, the physical act of writing sets up neurological pathways, which actually helps to clear some of that stuff out of your head. And once you've got that space, then you can start to listen. And I've found over, you know, the years, because I do a lot of writing, but I've also learned now how I can stop my mind from running. I just go stop, and I can actually turn my mind off, not for a very long time, but for about 10 seconds or so. I can turn it off before it starts to race again.
Yeah.
And when I write, I find it's easier to do that. And then when I'm quiet, ideas come in and they just feel right, because I've allowed everything else to go. And that's when you start to know what feels right.
Yeah.
But while you've got stuff in your head, you're right, you can't actually feel your gut because you're too much in your head. And it, that's where so many people are, is they're up in their head with this noise, thinking, looking for answers. And I was actually working with a client earlier this week, and she says, well, all this stuff is happening. I've had this and this and this. There must be a reason. Yeah, because we're always trying to find the reason.
Of course.
I said, what if there isn't a reason? What if you stop looking for the answer?
Yeah.
What if you just accept what is?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? And she goes, well, yeah, okay, that's pretty peaceful. I said, well, okay, at the moment it's peaceful when you're not looking for an answer. So let's just, for the moment, not look for an answer.
I love that.
And just stop looking.
Yeah.
And just be with where you are right at this moment.
Yeah.
And then be in the next moment. Yeah. And the more moments you can be, you'll actually find that the answer comes to you because you stop searching for it. And I think that's the big thing, is we're always looking for why this has happened or how this has happened. And we're always trying to find an answer. What if we stop looking?
Yeah.
Just stop looking.
Totally. And you know, the other thing about the whole intuition thing, gut feeling thing, if some of our listeners here are thinking, well, I don't have that thing, you can actually practice it.
That's right.
You can practice
and it is. It's practice. It's the writing. It's the just taking time out, 5 minutes just to... You know, I love being at the beach, but being out in nature is a good place to just kind of turn the mind off and just sit there and watch the ocean. I know you love to surf, and you can just go out there
and
just switch off, because you don't have to think, and you can just be
in the ocean.
And that's usually where
things come, And the other thing I think also to help with gut and with intuition is to actually, something you mentioned earlier, is to know who you are, so to know what your values are, to know what you stand for, to know what your integrity, your ethical... You know, being
that's right.
Is.
But a lot of people don't, because they're living other people's values, because
true.
They haven't
that's
sat
true.
Down and said, what's important to me?
So they need to maybe start with that.
Yeah, and that's one of the key things I do when I work with my clients. The very first thing we do is, what's important to you?
Yeah.
What are your value system?
Yeah.
Because before even looking at your business, your life, anything,
you need to know
what
are
your values, and are you living your values? Because if you're not, you're stressed.
Stressed and confused.
That's
and,
right, and nothing
unhappy,
will work,
and
you,
yeah,
everything is just going to be upside down. So it's like, let's get clear on your values and let's get you back to your values, And you don't necessarily need to make massive changes in your life. You just need to know what your values are and then start living in alignment and seeing how what is going on in your life, is that in alignment with your values? If it's not, how can you change your view of that? How can you change that? Is it, sometimes you have to change what's going on, but other times it's just changing your view of it so that's in line with your values.
And you know, the other thing, and you kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, is, you know, what if you just stop? Actually, you know, you mentioned, what if you just stop asking the question, but sometimes also, what if we just stop beating ourselves up about everything?
Right. Yeah.
And one thing I've been preaching, especially this week, but I've been thinking about it, about this whole perfectionism thing that is holding us back to do good things. And I see it with businesses all the time. They are stuck because they think they need to get it perfectly.
Perfect.
And so the thing that I've been preaching this week is that a really amazing skill to have is to find joy in the imperfection.
Mm.
So to actually enjoy the imperfect.
That's right. Because everything is
imperfect.
Everything is perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Except for you and I. We're
I know, Swiss technology apparently is.
Not even. So I think even that, even just accepting that it's cool, it's okay to be imperfect, to not have all the answers, and just enjoy that.
And I think when you put that out to the world, and I've been doing a lot of interviews the last few weeks, and this is one of the big things, is like, you know, it's okay if you don't do it right.
Exactly.
And it's not a failure. And, you know, and actually getting women to talk about that a little bit more, you know, to actually have some women who are seen to be, you know, successful by the rest of the world, to actually say, you know, there's so many things I did wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I spoke to someone earlier and she says, I closed a business and I lost $100,000. Yeah, and how I felt about that. But
what do you learn from it?
And she said, and I learned so much from it. So even at the time when I was in it, she says, I was so depressed and all of this stuff was going on. But afterwards I realised that, you know, there was so much I got out of that. And I think that's the story that many other women need to hear, that nothing's perfect.
And they also need to stop looking at what everyone else is doing. Because, of course, it always looks glamorous. Like, I'm never going to put a picture on social media where I'm working really hard. I mean, you walked in and I was on Skype, I was eating lunch at 2:30 or something. I'm not going to post on social media.
I'm normally in the Maldives with hardly anything on, standing on your head.
Exactly. So, you know, people are not sharing often. It's not being not real. It's just some people, you know, prefer to share the positive. And I also find it quite boring to share a photo of me eating and being on Skype, Angela walking in the middle of something and then saying, oh, look, I'm so busy. So what?
Yeah.
Like, everyone is busy.
That's right.
So we have to stop looking what other people are doing and thinking, oh, wow, they're so much better, because we are just as good as everyone.
Right.
Like,
I mean, yeah, as I said, I mean, I've worked with you for years and I've seen where you came from, because people know who you are now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the chick that stood on the stage at Awesomeness Fest and you've spoken at TEDx, you speak all around the world. And I say, she's not. She's just Francisca.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, exactly.
You know, and because I've seen what you, as I said, I've seen you right from the beginning, but everybody's the same. But it looks like on the outside that, you know, we got the rock star image and all of this type of stuff.
And we do, but it doesn't mean that we have started. I've spoken in a room of one person probably.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning.
That's right. You know, we all start somewhere, but it's consistency. It's just believing in your message. And so what are your three biggest tips for people right now before we finish up?
Well, I actually, one of my biggest tips that I'm just going to give what comes to mind right now, because probably next time I will have other tips. So these are not like the always tips, these are just right now tips. And one of them is always focus on adding value. So, it's the whole thing about making an impact. And even if you're not into making an impact, your business, if you run a business, or your life will be a lot more exciting if you always focus on adding value. Even if you're struggling with money or not, when you don't focus on, oh, I need more money, but you focus on, how can I add more value?
Mm.
That's when things get really interesting. And that was actually a little bit of a turning point in my journey of being an entrepreneur. At the very beginning, I realized that. I realized if I have this mindset of, oh, I don't know where the next money is coming from, to, hey, how can I add more value to 10 people today?
Mm.
Well, I could run a seminar, and if 2 people come and I can change their lives, or not their lives maybe, but, you know, make an impact, it's great. And that's really changed. So first tip is basically focus on always adding value. And then second tip is don't listen to everyone. Don't listen to everyone.
Except for you.
Except for me. And maybe Angela. But listen to yourself more than anything. If you're getting conflicting information or someone is telling you to do something, just, you know, smile and nod and say thank you, but listen to yourself more than anything. And the third one is enjoy the imperfect. So just enjoy not having everything perfect, and most importantly, keep a little eye on your voice in your head. Because if you keep beating yourself up all the time, it's not going to be very good for you and your psychic and your awesomeness. So just don't beat yourself up about stuff. Enjoy being imperfect. And I think that's a really great skill to have, is to say, hey, I just stuffed this up really royally. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, and everyone's done it.
Yeah,
we all stuff up
all day long. It's okay. Day. It's okay.
So tell me, if we were going to make a movie of your life, who would play you?
Oh my God. I would play myself.
No, I don't know anyone.
Oh my God. Cameron Diaz is the first person that comes
Cameron
to mind.
Cameron Diaz.
So she's crazy, apparently.
She's crazy.
And she does adventures.
And she's got blonde hair.
And she's hot.
And she's hot.
She used to be very
hot. Actually, I think you've got a hotter body than her.
Oh, but she's older, you know. She used to be very hot. But in terms of her spirit, I think she would be the first person that comes to my mind.
Okay. So before we go, we've got to talk about this new book.
Oh, yes.
Perception, and I'm actually halfway through reading Perception. So Francisca and her husband Christo have written a new book. They've got another book as well, but this is their new book. Briefly, tell us what Perception is all about.
Perception is all about perception. Would you have guessed? Perception is all about creating perception, and it actually applies to all areas of life. I believe that one of the biggest keys to being anything, whether you want to be successful, you want to be happy, you want to be rich, you want to be living anywhere in the world, you want anything in life, whatever you want, you know, different people have different success metrics. Perception is the key. Changing the perception around yourself, around the circumstances, and around how you can influence those things. Because I always say, some circumstances we have no control over. So whether, you know, the world is going under, or it's, the wind is blowing, or it's raining, or someone is walking into my business and wants to meet with me, I can't control those things, but I can control how I feel about them. I can control my perception of those things. And I think that's one of the biggest keys in life and business and everywhere, and this book is about that.
And it's a great read because it's a mix of fiction and also some really great tips. So where can they get it?
The best link to go to is actually basicbananas.com/perception.
Okay, so I highly recommend that book. When I finish reading it, I'm actually going to do a review, and
I'll put a review
out on that one. So if you've got any questions or you want to make any comments on this this episode today, please leave them in the chat box underneath the podcast, which is on www.angelacouncil.com. And I'll be back next week, where we're going to have more of a chat about what it's like running a business, doing it all, and doing it without all the stress. So from my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us today on this episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. As always, if you've got any comments, please feel free to leave them on the website, www.angelacouncil.com. While you're over there, you can also grab your 14-day stress-free living challenge. And if you'd like to learn a little bit more about what I do, why not pop into our private Facebook group called Stress-Free Living. So until next week, when I'll be back with some more exciting information for you, from my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now.